Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Wednesday to you. Well, if you listen often enough, you know I open the show with a question for you. So here's my question for you today. How you doing? How are you today? Are you worn out and weary by any chance? Have you reached a point of maybe even burnout? Here's another question for you. Have you lost your joy in the things that used to bring you joy? Have you lost your motivation to tend to the things that are good for your soul? Well, if you have, I really believe that you are here by divine appointment today, because my guest today, Kai Mark Nielsen, has written a book titled Renew Your Life, Discovering the Wellspring of God's Energy. We're going to just talk about how you take those steps back to that place of replenishment. It's so easy to let go of the things that nourish our soul. And before we know it, it's like being in a ship without a rudder. We don't know how we got off course, but we need to get back on course again. And if you're in that place or you love someone who is, today is a day to have that conversation. I've got three copies of Kai's book that I look forward to get into your hands. And then second hour, our good friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley from Focus on the Family, will join me to talk about the importance of fathers as we approach Father's Day. And as you know, Smalley's always come armed with a few incidents and some great stories. So we'll laugh and we'll unpack some great content all at the same time. Quick announcement, just a quick shout out to our special listeners tuning in Madison, Wisconsin, who listen in on Faith 1190. Maybe you've heard the announcement, but just in case you haven't, we now have an FM translator in your area so you can hear us loud and clear 24/7. So if you start to hear some static later in the afternoon on that AM dial, switch over to the FM dial, 104.7. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Kai Mark Nielsen has been lead pastor of Peace Lutheran in Ghana, Ohio. I think I'm saying that right, for over 10 years. He serves on the board of the Renovare Institute and is a certified pastoral coach for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Kai is also a leader in the Ghana Ministerial Association, where he developed a cross-denominational community ministry, which I love those cross-denominational ministries. That's fantastic. Kai, welcome to the program.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here, Susie.
Looking forward to having a chat with you. And Kai, we love to start all of our conversations talking scripture. And I always like to say when someone comes armed with scripture, they're an overachiever. But you're an overachiever because you came with two passages. So super impressed. So this first one, Philippians 2:2-13. Do you have your verse in front of you? Want me to read it? I have a portion of it.
Yeah, go ahead and read it
okay.
for me.
Therefore, my beloved, just as you always have obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And then the second one's Colossians 1:29. For this I toil and struggle with all the energy that he powerfully inspires within me. Speak to one or both of those, if you would.
Well, I think the idea from it came from, mostly from a personal experience, but it also came from the concept that I've just seen a lot of people going through fairly significant life transitions where they've hit a point where they're not quite sure what's next. They feel very depleted and overwhelmed by their lives of raising families, working in jobs, whatever their lives included. And all of a sudden, I was reading the text one time, and I thought, for this I toil with all the energy that God powerfully inspires within me. And it was at a point where I felt absolutely depleted of energy. And I thought, how did I miss this? And where is it that God's energy is available to me that I am not tapping into at any given time? And then the other thing about the Philippians text was interesting as I did more work on it, is that the word work itself, you know, God is at work within you, is the Greek word for energy. It's energeion. And I thought, God's energy is working in us so that we have the capacity to do the work that God is calling us to do. And those texts really formed kind of a point of reference for me and sort of a metaphor for what how God not only works in us, but through us to allow us to do what I think we've been asked to do.
Wow. Well, Kai, I'd love a little backstory on your faith journey. One, you know, Jesus became your, when you became just all in with him, and then what led to burnout, which is so typical when we become all in. You know, we're zealous and we're passionate, and then we hit a wall at some point. I'd love for you just to give us a little of that backstory.
Yeah. You know, I grew up in my dad was a pastor, and my older brother's a pastor. I have two younger sisters who are pastors. My mom works in the church. My other sister works in the church. So we have been sort of all in, so to speak, from the very beginning. And it probably wasn't until late college that I decided I knew I was headed for a helping profession, but I didn't quite know where that was going to be. And I decided, you know what, I wanted to go into seminary because I wanted to just not be with people in difficult times, but I wanted to be with times in people in great celebration when the light really comes on. And so I think it probably wasn't until my internship where I thought, wait a second, I can actually do this. I think part of calling is not only sensing that God is leading you somewhere, but that you understand that actually the gifts that you've been given match where God is leading you. And so I think that was an important pivot point for me. And then I worked in a church as an associate pastor for 3.5 years in Madison, Wisconsin. I understand you have a new affiliate, or at least they have a new station connecting, so that's great. I was there for 3 years at Trinity Lutheran, came here, and I've been here for 20 years, but the key transition point was a little over a decade ago when I moved into the lead role. And what I did was I think what probably a lot of people do is that I had in my mind what a lead pastor looks like, and so I sort of tried to fit into a persona and a role, and it really wasn't me. And so I was dealing with the expectations of what I believed was a growing community, the expectations of being a spouse, and I had 4 kids, and I was a community leader at the time, and all of those things I thought I could basically, in a sense, I was trying to do it on my own. And there was that point, you know, the first story in the book talks about this point when I realized I had nothing left, and I didn't have anything left to give to the people I was trying to serve. And it was a very scary time because it made me question not only, you know, was this the right thing for me to be doing, but is this the right call for me at this time? And so it sent me, you know, spiraling down into it with 1,000 different questions. And I knew I needed to do something different. And so that became the point of transition.
And Kai, when someone gets to that place, whether they're in ministry or in the marketplace, It can be so scary when you're in all these established roles, a spouse and a father. You maybe have a mortgage and bills to pay. It's so scary when you get to that place and going, you know, I have to keep going for my family or to pay these bills, but I absolutely can't. And then you add ministry to it. It's got to be coming from a place that's sustainable. So tell me some of the feelings that you had, maybe fears and even words that described that place for you before you started to take first steps out of that place.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering, kind of questioning my own sense of identity and calling. Is this the right thing? You know, because I felt so non-strengthened in that place. I had not been participating very much in some of the past spiritual disciplines that had been important to me. I just started to run on my own initiative. And so I started to wonder, is this really the place for me? And that's a very confusing time in life. I was certainly fearful because I thought, if not this, then what? And I didn't know what that other what would be. My wife was working part-time at the time, and we had 4 kids probably in their teens to, you know, early teens to later teens. And it was just a very difficult time of thinking, how am I going to manage the expectations that are that I'm dealing with, and also deal with my own soul. And I wasn't quite sure how that could all happen in one time. And so I, you know, part of it, I just understood that I just sort of gotten away from the core things that gave me a lot of joy. And because I just wanted to fill up that role and do it the best and try to be the best pastor and dad and husband and community person that I could be. And I'd sort of allowed other people's expectations and hopes for me, at least what I perceived, you know, some of them were articulated, some of them weren't, to be my guide rather than those things that had been sort of life-giving for me throughout my life.
And isn't that the case so often, is we're trying to do the right thing, we're trying to do it even for the right reason, but again, yep. It's not sustainable if it's external pressure, not internal energizing from the power of the Spirit. So what were some of the first steps you needed to take to kind of get the wind back in your sails, just to care for your withered soul?
Yeah, I just, I had to tell somebody where I was. Yeah. And fortunately, I had my mom and dad, who were very important for me. The interesting thing about the first conversation I recorded in one of the chapters of the book is that I remember calling my dad at a seminal moment in this process, and he said, I told him all the stuff, I laid out as best I could what was going on, and he paused, as he often does, and then he said, "Well, Kai, I think you're going to have to muddle through this for a while." Which, of course, is exactly what I didn't want to hear. You know,
thanks, Dad.
I know. I actually said, "Put Mom on the phone. She loves me. She'll give me a better read on my situation." But he was right. Hmm. And I think that, you know, if you think about that whole concept of wilderness, I gained a really deep appreciation for how transformative that experience can be, mm-hmm. even as it's scary and even as it's painful. And it began to allow me to think differently about other people who were either entering into that phase or found themselves in the middle of it. And I saw with new eyes how quickly, A, I wanted to get out of it. You know, I wanted someone to fix this. And I see that so much in the people that I end up connecting with. You know, it's just, we have a very difficult time dealing with pain, personal pain, relational pain. And we're just looking for quick fixes to make it different and better. And I knew that I began to understand. I didn't know it then, but I began to understand that this process of walking through the wilderness was going to be probably the most important thing I did at the time.
And it really did. It became such an important journey that Kai wrote a book titled Renew Your Life, Discovering the Wellspring of God's Energy. Why don't I open the phone lines? Maybe you're in a wilderness journey right now and you just need some advice. What are some next steps that I can take? And I want you to know you will smile again. You'll feel the warmth of the sun again. God is with you. Listen to him and follow him. And Kai may have some great wisdom for you. 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. If you're interested in the drawing for the book, Renew Your Life, in the subject line, give me your mailing address. Your name will go in a drawing. When we come back, we're going to unpack some of these important aspects of Scripture that Kai drew from, where he could learn and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and be energized by God himself. Don't go away. More with Kai Nielsen when we return. Song For Your Glory, a friend showed it to me, it's so fantastic. And there's a point in the song that says, fear is not bigger than God. Fear is not bigger than God. And there's times our fear actually does feel bigger than God, and fear drives us to strive when Jesus invites us to rest and to live in that rhythm of grace. Really glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Of the Promise, talking to Kai Mark Nielsen. He's the author of the book, Renew Your Life, Discovering the Wellspring of God's Energy. We've got three copies of this book, and he just really kind of walks through this journey from burnout to replenishment. And if you're there, I would love to get your name in on the drawing. Just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put Renew Your Life in the subject line. Include your mailing address, and a few of you will get a copy of this book. Kai, you write this, though we appear orderly and presentable on the outside, within our energy has drained away. Paradoxically, what we often need the most, the renewing energy of connective relationships, is what we have the least time and energy to pursue. Say a bit more about that.
Well, I think what happened to me, and I guess I've experienced it with a lot of other people in conversation, is that we become so programmed just to produce. which means that we're producing at our job, we're producing at our home, we're producing the good fruits in our kids, whatever we're trying to produce, that we don't have the time to develop relationships that are deep enough that we can be honest enough with to actually share what's going on. And I think that I knew that that was the case for me. I would guess many people, most people, if not all people in our congregation would have had very little knowledge of this happening in my life. And even my family at times, because I didn't want to sometimes be a burden to them. I remember talking to a number of them afterward, and they're going, seriously, why didn't you call me? And I was reminded how hard it is to reach out. And you kind of convince yourself that you should be able to put this back together and figure this out on your own until the point where you realize you can't. And that's when it was important for me to be able to actually reach out.
I remember Mark Buchanan, one of his books, I think it was Spiritual Rhythm, he talks about a time of burnout. And he said he realized with his discretionary time, he was actually squandering it because he was so tired, you know, just like surfing the internet, different things like that. So any kind of extra time, he felt busy, 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 and he was to a degree. But it's like you don't even redeem your discretionary time because you're so numb and exhausted that you don't have the will to say no and yes in powerful ways. Did you notice that as well?
You know, I think that was one of the more significant things. And interestingly enough, I met with a spiritual counselor, and one of the things she asked me to do after one gathering was a particular spiritual prayer discipline. And I thought, I came back and maybe 2 weeks later, and I hadn't done it at all. And she asked me about it, and I realized that I said something like, oh, I don't know if I had time for it, and which I think is what you were addressing with that quote. But then I realized at the very moment that I said that I had time for everything else that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I worked out, you know, multiple times during those 2 weeks for 45 minutes or an hour at a time. I had time to do this. I had time to do that, multiple things. And yet it was that I didn't want to do it. And that was the scary thing for me. And what then she asked as I kind of figured that out, she said, well, let's step back. Let's not add one more legalistic thing onto your life right now. It seems like you're carrying a lot. This is a great question. She said, what's the stuff in your life that brings you joy? What feeds life into your soul? And she said, don't think about it in the religious sense, like you read the scriptures and you pray and you go to worship, all the kind of traditional Protestant ways that we often think about what we need to do to connect with God. She said, you know, when you experience joy, you're connecting with God. So what kind of stuff brings you joy? And I thought for a moment, and then the thing I ended up doing was walking down an arts district in Columbus, Ohio, which is my hometown, and without my phone for 3 hours, so nobody can get in touch with me. And I had a perfect time just to experience and watch and look at other people's creativity. And it was absolutely a glorious time. And it was the simplest thing in the world, but it was just, it reminded me that you can do the things that you choose to do that are life-giving for you. So that was, it was an important reframe of what spiritual life or spiritual practices are all about. Because where joy is discovered, I believe that's where God is too.
Indeed, indeed. Remember a time when my hubby and I were transitioning into a new season of life, feeling a little bit weary ourselves, and our pastor and his wife, who had retired and just senior saints, went out to dinner with them, and they just grabbed our arms and they said, don't go into this next decade of your life without prioritizing these three things, rest, joy, fulfillment. They said, go home, interview each other, because you may be surprised even after all these years of marriage, what brings you rest, what brings you joy, what brings you fulfillment, and build your life around those. The next morning, my hubby and I sat for 3 hours. It was a Saturday morning with our Bibles and our journals, and learned things about each other, made radical shifts in our life because we realized we assume so much. Yeah, but you are so connected with God when you're in rhythm with the way that he designed you, you know?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So good.
Well, I think it's fascinating, and I think I'm convinced that people know how to get back to it. I knew how to get back to it, but there was somebody that was just important for them to be able to point me back in that right direction. Because most people, if you ask them the question, can answer it, you know, what is it that's life-giving for you? What fills you with joy? They can answer it. But for some reason, based on maybe a phase of life or choice, whatever it is, they just have chosen not to do that for a long time. And I think the phase of life issue, and that you, that's what you're just talking about with you and your husband, I think that's a critical issue too.
Mm-hmm.
Because there just are certain demands at certain phases of life that we can't get away from. So
yeah.
How do we reframe things in that particular time to give us the grace to be able to say, you know, for this moment, I may not be able to do all of that, but I can do this. And then choose what that is.
So good. Yeah, another thing they said is they thought in their mind's eye, I can rest when I'm in my 60s. And that they said it was such a mistake because they showed up in their 60s like they were almost dead on arrival, just exhausted. And we can't postpone rest. We can't postpone exercise. We can't postpone soul nourishment, can we?
Yeah. You know, what's been fascinating is that in the last week, actually, I've had two law students who just one finished a year ago and one finished this past year, who both read my book and both made contact with me specifically. And what they're experiencing, I was thinking that people would connect with my book who probably in their 40s or 50s who are going through these significant life transitions, all the weight of the world on their shoulder. But there is so much pressure that people at all ages and stages are experiencing. And they needed to know that somebody else who's been a little bit farther along in the journey has also experienced that. And they were so grateful that some of the themes that they are struggling with, even at 22, 23, 24, 25 years of age, are themes that people have been through. People want to know that somebody's been through this and that there can be some kind of guide.
You know, it makes so much sense, Kai, when you think about it, because production expectations have gone up so exponentially, not just for the working class, but for the preschooler, what you need to be achieving.
Yeah.
When you think that pressure is there, burnout's going to happen that much quicker. I mean, even I read in a report that childhood ulcers are at an all-time high. I mean, you think about the stress that are on these kids. Well, we've got about a minute left, but say a word about, you mentioned this in your book, that when we make ourselves, we give ourselves access to God's restorative healing power, we're able to more readily say no to addiction. And if you want to carry the answer on the other side, we sure can do that too, but say a word about that.
Well, I think what it does is it allows you to have the freedom and the grace to be able to say, What do I not bind myself to? An addiction is a desire that you bind yourself to that can ultimately lead to destructive patterns of living. And so if you've got a sensibility of who you are as a chosen, loved, desired child of God, that's your core identity, then you don't have to bind yourself to some of these other choices and attachments that are they're plentiful in our culture.
Mm.
And so it releases you from the kind of anxiety of having to say, I have to be this kind of person in order for me to be accepted in the socioeconomic or the religious or the cultural or the racial categories that I find myself in. And I think that can, for me, is the great, you know, grace becomes the primary energy is what I talk about, because if we can experience that goodness and core belovedness from God at the beginning, then we're not bound to, you know, what other people might expect from us in as deep a way.
Hmm. I'm going to talk more about that addiction thing on the other side, because I think we tend to numb our pain when we're so exhausted, which drives us further deeper into that ditch of burnout. Talking to Kai Nielsen, more with him when we return. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Kai Nielsen, author of the book Renew Your Life, Discovering the Wellspring of God's Energy. And up to this point, we were talking just the backstory on Kai's burnout and how God just led him to a place of rest and joy and fulfillment and getting his life back. And you're talking about these creative, renewable energies. And grace was the first one. And you write, receiving the grace of life itself, I open myself to God's ever-flowing energy in which I live and I move and I have my being, as Acts 17 says. Connect that, Kai. Just as I was saying before the break, this is the thing that we do so often for burnt out. We take a shortcut. We numb our pain by eating, drinking, buying, and not to be a legalist, but saying when we default to those things so we don't have to feel how tired that we actually are, we bind ourselves to those things in a way that hold us back from getting our life back. Speak to that and then connect it to grace, if you would.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I had a conversation just this past week with someone who's concerned about alcohol addiction in a family member. And we talked a little bit about where they're at in their stage of life. And it's a recent retirement. And so all of a sudden there's sort of surge of, I used to be somebody in my role. I used to be somebody in my job. I was getting all this affirmation for what I did. And now I have all this blank space in my life where I'm not getting the affirmation. I'm not achieving anything of, you know, outward note. And all of a sudden his kind of addictive patterns with alcohol emerged again, and in a fairly significant way. And I thought, you know, that's part of the core issue, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, if we don't know who we are, and if we don't know that we're connected with the God whose life is moving and breathing all around us and within us all the time, then we have to search for those other things that satisfy those desires. And I think there's just plenty of examples of that throughout, you know, our culture these days, and the seduction of affluence, the seduction of appearance and image. You know, there's obviously alcohol, sexuality, pornography. I mean, there's just so much stuff that's in the world right now that kind of keeps us filling a place that's a gap that I think is probably, for me, it's sort of losing our, we've lost a sense of kind of who we are in our core. And that's, for me, what grace does. It just says who you are as a core, no matter where you are and what place you are, is a beloved, loved child of God. And can we go from that place and move out into the world rather than go from the places where we are just receiving the satisfaction, momentary satisfaction, and then keep trying to feed it over time?
Boy, it's so good. And those are such shortcuts, and they postpone our awakening to grace, because we're drinking from a broken cistern that can't satisfy. So we're taking another soul shortcut and postponing once again this growth in grace. And here again, just as we were talking before the break, we can't postpone rest till our 60s or 70s. We can't postpone our identity because of grace, you know, for when we're not producing anymore. So talk about how it's such an important, not only a good idea, but a critical idea, no matter what stage of life you're in listening today, that you get your identity from God's grace and not from the thing that you're doing. Because that, it's like shifting our weight onto sand that could be, that could collapse beneath us.
Yeah. Now, I think you look at, you know, I've got children who are in their teens to early 20s right now. And there's so much pressure on them to be other than who they are. Mm. And it's to be a successful and to be part of that particular group in a suburban community like ours, to achieve highly, those who, you know, go on to good schools versus those who aren't able to go on to good schools or no schools. I mean, there's all this grading that happens throughout the system. And every place that we live in our culture in some ways has a grade scale. You know, you're part of a team, you have to compete on a certain level. You're part of a musical, you have to get your part. You're part of a job, you have to get hired, and then you have to perform because you have reviews every 3 months or so. And it's so easy for you to say, that's who I am. I'm an excellent student, or I am a, you know, a great athlete, or I am a top performer in my work, or I'm a failure, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. I'm a failure because I didn't do those things well. And all of those things are, you know, the kind of external affirmations or non-affirmations that people are getting for life. But they're very seductive, because that is most of the life that we experience outside of the life with God is built on those scales.
Boy, so true. Another one you say is possibility. And you write, hovering over the waters of chaos, the Spirit of God makes possible hope for the new things God has already declared. I just love that. And then you ask this great question as it relates to possibility. What life resources give me the strength and courage to act? And you listening today, I want you to think about this. If you feel stuck and you feel burnt out, you're in a wilderness that you can't even articulate, but you just know you don't have the life energy in you. I want you, Kai, to answer this question and unpack it for us a bit more. What life resources give me the strength and the courage to act? Say more.
Well, I think that, you know, what was interesting for me was that as I look back at the prophets when I was doing this chapter on possibility, they spoke into situations that seemed absolutely hopeless, right into the middle of Israel's exile in Babylon, and with the primary prophets that I was looking at. And even when they spoke, there still wasn't, life didn't change immediately. Right, they might have spoke at the beginning of exile, and it was still a number of decades before the people of God were released and brought back to their homeland. But by speaking it and by connecting that to a larger image of what God's all about, many times what they did is tie in the creation story. And that's where I got the whole imagery of all the creative energies that I talk about are connected with the creation story itself. And they went back to this God of creation, and they said, people, you're part of a bigger story. I think that's one of the primary life resources that is critical for us to keep telling people the story. Life just isn't about this moment, your experience of great joy and success or failure and disappointment. You're part of a big, big narrative. And I think people come alive when they get a sense that they're part of something bigger than who they are. So that's for me a critical life resource. Stories of change. I mean, when you're able to be around somebody who's been through something, at our Good Friday service here this past year, because we were dealing with the theme Practice Makes Possible, we thought, how do we help people understand that it is possible to move through some things? And so we had a person who lost a spouse through divorce. We had a person who'd lost a number of family members through death, and a person who'd gone through alcohol addiction speak about what it's like for them to be on the other side. Now, it's not perfect, and they're still working on things. We all know that. But, man, it was so powerful for people to experience some, because they looked at those people and said, oh, my gosh, I thought they had it all together. And then they figured out the story in life, that this common struggle that we all go through, and can we be that for one another, and then say and then connect with those stories that, you know what, there still is possibility. Look what happened here. Look what happened there. Look what happened there. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's a huge life resource, and that's why we crave and need each other in community.
Mm, very good. You're right. Given the current platforms of our lives, living with the energy of possibility may mean we start giving ourselves a break and not feeling the pressure to make every moment beautiful and meaningful and profound. God honors and is present in all parts of life, monumental and muddling moments included. Love that. Okay, so let's talk about paradox, and this is what you write about. Paradox, wrestling with the reality of both light and darkness in our lives and in the created world, we receive the energy to move from suffering to endurance, to new character, to hope that will not disappoint, as Romans 5 says. Say more about this paradox and what you learned there, and even how you started to find life kind of come back to your soul as you pondered paradox.
Yeah. I think, you know, it was a critical issue. One of my favorite authors these days is Father Richard Rohr, and he said transformation happens primarily in two ways, through either great love or great suffering. And think about that as a paradox, right? I mean, on both sides of the coin, this love that brings us and draws us into a new vision of our life, or the suffering that takes us through deep, disappointing, struggling parts of our lives, and then helps us to reemerge on the other side with a new understanding of who we are. All of life, I mean, life is paradox. You know, I mean, if you think about what's happened this past week in Orlando, we have great suffering that happens in our world, and we have great joy that's experienced. We have times of great enlightenment, and we have times we just simply don't know where we're going. This is the world that we live in. Lutherans, you know, my tradition has a particularly, I think, important reading on this. I mean, Luther talked about from the beginning that we are at the same time saint and sinner. And that's the paradox of the life that we lead. We're people who have been saved, brought back into a life-giving relationship with God through the grace of Jesus Christ. And at the same time, we are imperfect, and we fall and we fail all at the same time. And so I think being able to come to grips with that is life-giving, because I think we keep pointing and we want things to be right all the time, and they're just not. And be able to say to people sometimes, life is hard, isn't it? you've got to do some work, don't you?
Mm.
And it's, I think, if when people kind of come to grips with the fact that if, and I think it's especially happens, I'm just, there's mulling some things as I'm talking. It happens when you can actually do what they do in the scriptures a lot, is say, remember when. And you take people back into their own lives and just say, talk about a time when a relationship, what you were struggling with, or talk about a time when you didn't have a decent sense of yourself, or talk about a time when, and then what did you learn about yourself in the process? And they realize by doing, using their own narratives sometimes, that these great paradoxical times of delight and disenfranchisement or disappointment, sorrow and joy, were the times that were the most transformative for them.
Mm.
And so that's why I think paradox is such a critical one. We try to avoid it, right? We'd
yeah.
love to have life be a lot cleaner than it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's messy.
But when people are away from paradox, when they've gone through a time where they're not forced to deal with a paradox, they're the ones that are the least comforting because they default to formulas. You know what your problem is? They become like
yeah.
Job friends. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
You must have missed a step because I'm not having that thing happen to me. And when the question you challenge us to wrestle with, what life circumstances have forced me to wrestle with the paradox of light and darkness? And my friends who listen know, my sister, my youngest sister's husband is battling pancreatic cancer. And it's so, pancreatic cancer is the worst. It's so wicked.
It's brutal.
And to look at the paradox of light and dark, life and death, sickness and health, it has pressed me into eternity like never before. And right away I had an answer to that question. And I thought, as sad as I am and I'm still grieving and he's still fighting, I do feel like I know something deeper of the Lord and I have a firmer hold on eternity and a looser hold on earth. And I feel like that's something, isn't it? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
We've got JJ checking in from Fridley. We got to take a quarter hour break soon here, but we'll get his question. Maybe you can start up, Kai, and we'll have to pull it on the other side
Great.
As well. Hey, JJ, you're on the air.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm hanging in there.
Not so good. What's going on?
I've lost a lot of faith because after 23 years, my wife has divorced me, and how can you go on when the most important person in your life and the one you only wanted to ever be with is gone now?
Oh, I'm so sorry. So sorry. What do you say, Kai? You want to chat with him?
Yeah, you know, one, it's just heartbreaking. I mean, just to hear, you can hear it in your voice how sad it is and how lonely you must be. And so I think just in the moment, just to say, I'm really sorry that this is going on, because, you know, to just throw out a nice, clean answer and say, this is what you're going to do, is probably not right. And so I'm sorry that this has happened to you. I guess a couple of questions maybe would be a way to go at this, because I don't know all the circumstances around this. You know, back to the question that we were talking about a few. What at this point, what are the resources that you can hold on to? I mean, do you have friends? Are there family members that can just for the moment be with you on this journey? I think about the time, you know, most of the times when I've been through difficult times or I've experienced people in loss, I don't really remember a lot of what they said, but I do know if they showed up.
Mm.
And so is there somebody that, you know, you can call on right away? So there's an immediate and then there's a long term, right? In the immediate, you're just sad. It sounds like very overwhelmed. Where's the place to go at this point for someone before you try to deal with all the big questions about why and who else? Can somebody be with you just to say, hey, you know what? We love you. We're sorry. What do you need for today? So
they have, and my coworkers have bought me a bed for my place and give me furniture, but it's like nothing matters but being with her. And our anniversaries would have been next month. And honestly, I don't plan on being around after that, because I can't. She was everything for me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to therapy and I'm going to DBT. But it's like nothing else matters. None of the things I like to do matters. Nothing. I've lost 40 pounds in 6 months. Nothing
wow.
matters.
Yeah. Have you, if I heard you say that you're thinking about after that anniversary of not being around, are you intimating that you are not willing, are you thinking about taking your life? I just want to be real honest with that.
Being real honest, yeah. I took out my 401k so I could enjoy the next month, and I don't want to live without her. I've been with her, married 23
yeah.
years, together 30, and I knew her since 16.
Wow.
And no one ever believed we would ever get separated or divorced. They all thought we were all happy, and so did I.
Hmm. I guess if you're, if my, my sense is if you're having those thoughts, I really need to encourage you to, like, maybe, I mean, I know it sounds like you're talking with a counselor, but maybe there's even an inpatient place where you can go and just be with people because, you know, that's a very serious situation and I don't want to underestimate it and I don't want to not listen to what you're saying to us at this point. So I guess my encouragement is, you know, at this point, if that's how deep it is, you know, what's the place where you call your counselor and say, you know what, I'm at a place where I need somebody to be with me all the time because this is what I'm thinking about doing. And maybe you've done that already, but I'm hearing it for the first time, and I get concerned in regard to that.
JJ, we want to get someone to connect with you today because if you're
mm-hmm.
at that point that you've made that plan, we need to make a different plan. Because remember what the
yep.
what the Bible says, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's stolen, so now he wants to kill and destroy the rest of your life. And it's hard for you to imagine life on the other side. But then Jesus says, but I come that you have life and life abundantly. And this is so painful, but in the valley of the shadow, it is tempting to make life decisions, and it's the worst time to make a life decision, that it's hard to believe, but there will be a day, whether she changes her mind or not, there'll be a day that you smile again and that you laugh again and that God brings healing. And I beg you not to make a choice like this. And we want to
mm-hmm.
get somebody in your city, and I think if I see where you're from, you know, we've got pastors in that area that can connect with you. But Kai, would you do me a favor and pray for JJ right now?
Yep. Gracious God, source of love and encouragement and hope. You took one of the most profoundly devastating experiences in the death of your son mm-hmm. and created a new possibility in the resurrection of him. And as people who long to hold on to you, and we hope to trust in you. We believe that somehow, that even in the most dark situations, that a light can emerge. And so we pray that that would happen, whether it's people who are willing to walk alongside in this very moment for, this is JJ, we need you to be present through all the support and all the encouragement and all the avenues that you can muster in this way. To hold him in this place so that there can be that time when the dust will settle a little bit more and maybe he can stand a little taller and begin walking forward. For now, let's find those resources and let him know that those resources are gifts from you and your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Father, we just I just have to come against that spirit of death, that enemy. We bind him in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we speak just life over JJ. I pray hope right now would fill his heart, peace that passes understanding. That's what your peace does, is it passes understanding. We just pray, gird him up. As your word says, that peace becomes a garrison for our mind and our hearts. May your peace flood him. Give him eyes to see, God, the plan that you have, to prosper him, not to harm him, to give him a hope and a future. Father, I pray surround him and even cancel his plans, Lord God. I pray put people in his path to love him, as Kai said. And I just pray your richest blessing on JJ, that healing would even begin today. In Jesus' name, amen. JJ, stay on the line.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling. Stay on the line. Grace is going to just connect with you for a sec. We have to take a break here. We're going to be back in just a moment. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I have Pastor Kai Mark Nielsen on, talking about his book, Renew Your Life, Discovering the Wellspring of God's Energy. And if you just tuned in, what a conversation. Kai, what a pastor you are. Your pastor's heart sure kicked in, and Grace is talking to JJ right now.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your heart for him. We've got to be wrapping the show up here in just a minute. Two questions. One, I pray you'll come back, because there's so much more of your book that I want to talk about. But with this minute and a half left, let's just chat for a minute about, I mean, we're hearing reports of suicide all over the place. And again, it's getting younger and younger. And people who are burnt out and hopeless and hurting, they're convinced that there's no other way. And I would love for you to speak to the other person who's listening, who's hearing JJ going, I just didn't have the guts to call in, but I'm feeling the same way. Just speak to this issue where it feels like there's no other way.
Yeah. I guess that, you know, a couple of things that I have become aware of recently, that George Barna did a huge survey on loneliness, and loneliness has doubled in the last decade, according to his survey, across our nation. The rate of clinical depression in my lifetime has quadrupled in my lifetime, so I'm a little over 50 years old. And the average onset has gone from 29, I think, to maybe 14 and a half or 15 years of age. So it's a very pressing issue that we have in front of us. Community is so important. I don't think we can, I guess I'm calling, you know, people who are followers of Jesus to be mindful in every situation they find themselves in, when their workplaces, in their neighborhoods, to just be aware that what appears on the surface of most people's lives is probably not the reality of what's happening. Somebody be willing to ask the question, and then be willing to listen and say, okay, because I think that Barna also in his survey said that, you know, and you'll understand this, the default answer that we have to the question, how are you, used to be fine, and now it's busy.
Wow.
Right? And so we've let that be our reality for us. And it's not the way of life. And it doesn't lead to life. And the busyness keeps us pushing right past people who are desperately in need. And so the slowing down is not just for each one of our own souls, but it's also for us to be able to be mindful and to see what's happening in the life of the neighbor, and to be able to respond well.
So good. Kai, we've got literally one minute before we have to wrap this hour. Would you pray for our listeners today that we would sense God's direction
Gracious God, we all have come from that place sometime in our life where we are just wondering, and we don't know that we have the capacity or the strength to make it to another day, or to engage the relationships that we have, or to be about the work that we're given. And help us all in our own way, whatever's going to be right for us in this time, to step back and do some thinking about how your life has been known to them in the past and how they can find a way to do that again. Help them to receive that joy and that good gift of the Spirit. If they need to reach out to someone, give them the courage to do that. If they need to reorganize their lives, give them the time and the pace and the space to do that. If they just need to reimagine what their life can be about, I pray that your Spirit would continue to work in and through them. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Kai, I pray you'll come back next month and join us again.
That'd be great.
Thanks so much. Don't go away. Hour 2 is up next.